The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast. It's the Weekend Podcast. It's the end of the year podcast, the last podcast ever. And while I'm talking, I'm joined by Pete and Steve, not ever, of course, of 2017. And while I'm talking here, my wife is FaceTiming me. I don't know why. Oh, it's my son, Monty. Hello, Monty! What do you want?
Stocks and shares gone up.
Oh, our stocks and shares gone up. See, I got them going, haven't I? No, the market isn't open yet, Monty. I know I can't wait for it to open again. It isn't open yet. Listen, I'll speak to you in a bit, okay? What stock have you picked for the competition? Was it Val or Val? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All right, and Fred's gone with feedback. Right, speak to you in a bit, Mon. Bye. Right, yes, no, just now, literally, as you know, you may or not know, I started a competition. Guys, what you should take part, and it's called What Do You Think the Best... I don't know what it's called, but the title is Best Performer of 2018.
Yes.
And I've got a survey up there on a spreadsheet. I had over about 320 guests so far. About 100 companies have been guessed. And I think the most popular so far is Talao Energy, which we both hold, which is doing very well, isn't it, ladies and gentlemen?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. That's encouraging.
First of all, Steve, we're recording this. What is it? What day is it? I don't know what day it is. What is it?
Saturday.
Oh, yeah, Saturday, yeah. It's a Saturday. I've just come back from Wales. We've gone to Essex for Christmas, then Boxing Day and all that. We went to, day after Boxing Day, went to Wales, my parents, and we just come back. Our car was ridiculous. We went to Essex, fill up the car obviously with presents when Santa left the nan's house, my mother's, my mother. And then we went to my parents' house, and we couldn't fit, an extra packet of crisps in there. And then we went to, my parents' house, more presents. And then we went out to Cardiff shopping. We missed it. I don't know why we went there, to Cardiff shopping. And then we went to, today, Bridge End shopping in Carthy Glen. And in fact, in the cafe there, in front of me, was the First Minister of Wales, Carwyn Jones.
Right.
Yeah, and he ordered some food. And they give you a number. And he was given the number one. And I said, see, they give you that because you're First Minister. And he went, very good. But he didn't that impressed, to be honest. But we're going to do it earlier, but Steve's at a wedding. Congratulations, Steve.
Yeah.
Where's the invite?
Thank
well
you.
Done.
Yes, I had a great time.
Yeah. And so who's lucky fella?
It was a friend who you know, don't you?
Yes.
Where was he? Rachel. I didn't get any invite. Pete, did you get an invite?
I sort of had a potential invite for the evening, but
that's not an invite. I sort of had a potential invite for the evening.
Listen, no, I did have an invite.
Oh, cheers! Are you trying to make me feel better or not?
Yeah, I did.
But why didn't you go then?
Well, I was down in Devon, family and stuff, and so that's my excuse. But it's an evening thing as well. When you go just the evening. If it had been the whole thing, maybe. Anyway, so I didn't go. How was it, Steve?
Yeah, it was good. Everyone said hello.
What, to what? Each other? It's quite a social affair, though, was it? Hello.
A lot of hellos.
Hello.
Well, I won the best man, like, guessing the speech time, which is good. So I won the sweepstake on that.
How long did you go on for?
19 and a half minutes. I picked 18. So, yeah.
Was it a good speech?
It was a bit quiet. It was in a big room. It could have done with a microphone.
Oh, look at that, coming from the audiovisual expert. Yeah. Yeah, a little bit quiet. Just could have mic'd him up, give him a sort of cheek mic. And, 19. Is that too long, do you think? Or was it just about right?
Yeah, right. It's about right time, isn't it? Well, I remember when I did my best man speech for my friends, I went on for 35 minutes, I think.
35 minutes?
Yeah.
Cool. Was he still your best man after that?
No.
What are you talking about? 35 minutes? That's a long time.
It was
time,
a double headed best man speech. It was two of us, so.
Well, you're both for 35 minutes?
No, it was 35 between us both.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Steve was 1 minute, and then I was 34.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Steve just said, what he said. Cheers. All right, cheers, everyone. Was it any good, though, Steve? I mean, it was a black tie event, wasn't it?
Yes, it was, yeah.
Is that unusual or normal or what?
Well, it was in the Cardiff Museum, so it was a nice setting for it, I think.
Where's the Cardiff Museum? Where is that?
It's in Cardiff.
Right, yeah. But where in Cardiff is that? I don't know why I can't place that. What is that?
City Hall.
City Hall, next to City Hall, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right, yeah. All right, nice. Yeah, lovely. And did Rachel marry one of her best friends, also married the brother, or the twins, aren't they? Are they twins, Steve?
Yes, they
are. Yeah, so this is a situation where Rachel and Christy are good friends, they work together, met these guys, and they're twins, and then Christy married one, and then Rachel married another. Who's chewing? Who's eating leftover turkey? What's going on here?
Sorry, it's me. I'm eating a squishy drumstick.
Oh, Jesus.
Professional.
Anyway, awesome. So stocks and shares. Yeah, no. The reason why Monty, who's four, he's going to be five in April, FaceTime me. He just said, I give him five stocks to pick that I think are going to perform well in 2018. And as you know, part of this competition thing that's going on is that it'll start on the 2nd, and it'll end, of course, on the 31st, I think it is, of December. And the best, I don't know what's going to happen, basically, there's no prize, but having picked, I think, the one that will, you know, multi-bag, it will multi-bag, of course it will. Having picked the one that multi-bags and winning the competition, that's prize in itself, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, you could give your children some shares in that stock. I think that would be a generous.
Oh no, not to my kids. I'm not giving them anything. No, I just mean anyone else wins. Yeah, no. Oh yeah, if my kids win, Fred is really motivated. I don't know if this is good or bad. He's really motivated by money. Really, okay. Honestly.
Wonder where he gets that from.
I know, and also Monty's catching on, right? Because today, my Fred's had this tooth hanging out. It's like. Do you ever see what was that? Salem's Lot. Do you ever see that film Salem's Lot years ago? And one of the scary guys in it was a bald-headed guy. He had one tooth, like an upside-down pyramid, coming from the centre of his gum, pointing downwards. And Fred's had a tooth like that hanging out now for like months. It's so irritating. We went out today to see Paddington 2 in the cinema, which is a cracking film. You ever seen Paddington 2? I don't care if you're... you don't need kids. Just go and see it. It's wonderful. And a couple of times, you know, almost a tear in my eye. I say tea, I was screaming out loud, crying. But it's an excellent film. Really well done, really well put together. Timing, everything's it's funny, it's clever, you know, it's emotional. But we went to see that, and he was eating sweets, and it came out, and he showed me. And so then my mother couldn't find any change, right? She couldn't find any change anywhere. And she's losing her short-term memory, so she went, oh, you are? And she gave Fred a tenner, right? A tenner for a tooth. And then he ran off it. Yeah. He knew he shouldn't have had it, right? He went, yes. I said, Fred, no, you're going to share it with Monty. No, it's my tooth. No, I'm not sharing. And I said, Mum, what did you give a tenner for? So I didn't have any change. I said, well, it's 10 quid for a tooth. I said, God, that's nuts. I said, that's crazy now. Now Monty's going to want a tenner. And so I said, Dad, and my father got some change out. He managed to get £5 coins together. And give it offered to Monty, who's four, you know? Like £4 coins for 4-year-olds, a lot. And Monty went, Monty looked sad, his face looked angry, he went, Freddy got a note. I thought, you greedy little sods.
Yes.
I don't want to bring him up. The reason why I want to get stocks and shares is because I believe stocks and shares is a trade. I don't mean like trading, but like anything, the more you do it, the better you get, you know? And I think, you know, and I don't think any coincidence that musicians have sons and daughters who play instruments. You know, I'll never have a kid who's good at music because I can't play a guitar or anything. But hopefully they'll learn stocks and shares. And I said, listen, if you get very good at this, you get a cracking job in the city or even, you know, be an investor for yourself, you know. So I said, you don't need to do anything else. So I want to get him into it. I think it should be taught in school. I think investing should be taught, you know. I get taught like Pythagoras's triangle or whatever it is, but I don't get to talk about investing or about mortgages or interest rates or any of that, which is very important, you know. And so I want to sort of try and get my kids into it. And the only thing that would motivate Fred or incentivize him is money. So you know, straight away he said, how do I put it on? How do I put the thing on? How do I get it going? I said, well, it's going now. The competition's starting, Fred, soon. So okay. When do I get my money? He's like, literally, he thinks there's no risk at all or reward, you know. And but do you know what was funny? Is my mother, her memory is fading. She asked questions, you know, a lot, the same question a lot. And we had to talk about Olive Oil, because I saw this program about Olive Oil, and it's very good. They've done it with, it's going to be natural extra virgin olive oil, and quite fresh. And it's shown to kill. Is it the plaque that forms in the brain cells that apparently is responsible for memory loss? And it, with mice, it's proved amazingly well. But I said to my mother's day, to what this, and she said, what? She saw the extra virgin olive oil. And she said, why do we have that? What's that there? Chris, why am I taking extra virgin olive oil now? Why am I taking it? I couldn't help laughing. Because I thought, that's the reason why you're taking it. Yes. Why am I taking it, Chris? Chris, why am I taking it? Why am I taking extra virgin olive oil? And I thought, it's me. Mm-hmm. But we went into one of the shops in MacArthur Glen to try and buy some tablets. Because I tried a spoonful of extra virgin olive oil on a spoon on its own. And it is not nice. On its own, it's horrible. So we try to get some capsules. We can't get that. There was a bit of marketing there, but surely there's a product there, surely, isn't there? Anyway, let's talk about
maybe it'll be AIM listed before long. Olive oil tablets.
Anyway, so talking about end of year performances and next year performances, Steve, is your portfolio in the red or the black?
The red or the black? It's in the green.
Right. Well, I think that's quite good then, isn't it?
No, it's blue, isn't it? There's a Harry and Larry.
It doesn't matter what colour it is, really. Are you up or down? Oh, hang on, I think it's purple, is it? Let me have a think now. Is it yellow? Hello?
Steve?
Yeah? I was just in gone.
Are you up or down?
I'm up.
Oh, that's good. Okay. And I don't know what Harry Larry do. Harry Larry Lansdowne. But do they show you a percentage for the year or what? And a performance? Can you drill down into the last 12 months?
There's probably a graph you can download, but I think overall I'm up 18% from earlier today, I look.
From earlier today?
Actually, it wasn't open today, was it?
Steve is making money when the market's shut. You guy's a genius.
He's 18% up.
You should tell your friends, I'm making money out of a fist here, even when the market's closed. I'm 18% up.
Do you know what? I'm
such a genius.
A couple of times today. Yeah. I was thinking, hasn't gone up or down today.
I'm such a genius. It's a Saturday, and it's like in between New Year's. I mean, it's almost like New Year's Eve tomorrow. We have Steve's looking at his point. I'm up by 18% a day. You should tell Warren Buffett that. Say, Warren, knock him up on Twitter. How's your portfolio looking today? Mine's up 18% in the market, and the market is closed. Yeah! That's how hot I am. My stocks are so hot, they sizzle when the market's shut.
Today has been Steve's best day of the year.
Yeah, it's been good.
Yeah. So listen then, so can you see though, can you log in and scroll through and see, what you are up overall over the year?
Up overall, yes, but what I want to do is actually, and I will do, is do a bit of a calculation for the year and look back over, because I'd like to see that, and we'll make a point of making a note of the value of my portfolio now for this time next year, because I didn't. So I'm up.
And it's absolutely worth doing, because when you measure something, you can only start evaluating and improving yourself when you start measuring. You've got to measure before. You're just buying something and hoping it goes up and then see where, you imagine just owning a business, not knowing what you paid for stuff, what you sold for stuff, what the rent is or anything. You've got to be a bit organised and try and measure how much you've increased, portfolio-wise. It's definitely worth doing. Just write the figure down, put a spreadsheet or email it yourself or something, or put it somewhere you remember. And even if you can do it, do it quarter on quarter. It's worth every 3 months. Yeah. Don't want to do it too often. Maybe halfway through the year and so you can look back. Like companies do, they're listed. You should treat yourself like a business. If you're investing money, you should try and treat yourself like a business, because that's what it is. And you should be looking about a certain gain on the year. And what do you get in a bank? It's like 1%, if that, 1.5% if you put in an interest bearing account. You can't. The stock market this year, the FTSE is at a record high ever last day of the year, which is a very bullish sign, I think. But he may have a bit of a sell off. I don't know. So it's record. I think it's about the FTSE 100 was up about 7%. So
I was going to ask you about that, because obviously the pound weakening has had that effect, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Has helped kind of inflate that price.
I think, I don't know what the stats are. Something like 50-75% of the companies in the FTSE 100 earn their money in dollars. So, of course, even though they're listed here, and there's some of the bigger ones listed in New York as well. But when they get paid in dollars, and the dollar's strengthening, strong currency, and the pound's weaker, then it, when it translates into British pounds, then obviously they get a lot more pounds for that, and so they earn a lot more. And so it's better for them, the dollar's
stronger.
But like
you say, it is a bullish sign, isn't it? It's quite interesting. You're like, wow, okay, that's a record high. Mm. And with all the nonsense going on, all the Brexit and all that stuff, it's sort of like surprising. And same with America, with all the Trump nonsense. And they're at highs as well, aren't they? So it's probably the time to sell and invest in something else. But
the thing is, don't forget, right? It's a stock market, all right? Mm. And by that, I mean it's a market of stocks. Don't be convinced. Sometimes, of course, the entire sentiment of the market can drag down stocks. But if you're picking stocks at good value that you think have potential and excellent news going forward, and they're cracking, there's no reason why you shouldn't scale in, because you can still make money, in a bear market. You really can if you're picking the right stocks. If you're picking stocks that have like momentum stocks, then that have flown this year, highs, and they may take a bigger hit, in a downturn. But if you're searching for companies that are not overvalued, and they're a bargain, and they've got some big news coming up this year, they should do well. So. But it's always good to, like I said, try and have that discipline, to have a bit of cash on the side. Like, if you're a business, you would do that. You'd try and do that. You'd try and have some cash on the side. You would try not to rely on a loan or something like that, or having to sell stock when the market's turning. Because the best time to sell, like I said, is when the stock is rising. Especially in small stocks, you're going to get stuck when everyone's trying to sell. Because there's been plenty of times, not huge positions I've had in small companies, and I couldn't sell anything. I couldn't sell it. Because it's going down, everyone else is trying to sell or has sold, the market makers don't want to take it, so you're stuck with the stock. But when you see a good rise in a stock, and you're thinking, listen, this is now like over 10% of my portfolio value, I need to get out of it here. That's the time to sell. When you think it's going to go to the moon, it doesn't. Invariably, 99.9% of the time, it does not go to the moon. It'll have a pullback, and you can get back in later if you want to at a level. So the time to sell is when liquidity is on your side,
The one thing I've sort of looked at, and it's just kind of happened really, I haven't really monitored it, is that I've now got 19 stocks in my portfolio, which is the most I've ever had, I think, and of which only, three are FTSE 100 stocks. The rest are, AIM and all the exciting small stocks. But so that's the only thing where you feel a bit exposed, just through that number. But they're all different. A lot of them in different fields and different things, and they're all going to be affected by different sentiment and different conditions, aren't they? But it does make you a little bit more, am I a little bit exposed, or should I be a bit more? Now, if we are at highs, I should be taking some off the table, as they say.
Yeah, but again, look at companies if you want to get dividends, good dividend paying stock, a big one, for example, you've got BT, or you've got Lloyds and Next, which is a retailer, a bank, you've got BT Telecoms, you want to maybe a pharma. GlaxoSmithKline, GSK, they're at the moment where they're at tantamount sort of. So this time they're at 1322. Last time they're here was 2015, and this is the kind of stock that, if you look across the chart, it's a very choppy stock for a big company. Mm. They'll spend like a couple of, and this is at the bottom of the range, even going back as far as 2012. This is the range they're in, from 13 to sort of 17. So at the bottom of the range there. So you can pick this up, GSK, nice little dividend, and scale in, don't go mad on it. But like I said, nice little dividend, and it will come round, because one of those companies is so big, that they got the money and the leverage to do what they need to do. If they need to buy some, new kind of compounds, drugs, or some of that, they will do it. They'll invest in the right areas. But I think they've had this uncertainty, the CEO said she was moving away from, she's moving towards consumer brands more, a bit like Unilever were doing. And then she said now she's not going to do that. So she's confused the market a bit, and they're not sure, because she's brand new, what's going on. So they've taken a big hit, and a couple of other issues. But
so I hadn't realised how far they'd come down, actually. Yeah, wow. That's quite amazing.
Do you know what? Listen, when you think about it, one of the things I've learned is that it's all about the price. It's all about the price. I keep saying this over and over again. So if I research a company, I like it. That's only the first level, but I will put a price alert on it, because if it's the wrong price, I won't buy it. It will come back. And when we have a bull run, we think it doesn't. But next thing you can have some kind of issue happening globally. Stocks will sell off. That begets selling. It will come back. So my first and foremost filter is the price. If it doesn't hit the right price, I'm not buying. So I guarantee that whenever I buy a stock, it's at a good price. It may go lower, But at the moment, yeah. I'm not overpaying for it. I'm not, you know, yeah. that's the, it's got to pass that filter first. If it's too expensive, I won't buy it, full stop.
Yeah. And at this level, it's showing a 6% yield, like its dividend yeah. yield is 6%. That's pretty, yeah, that's quite nice, isn't it?
Yeah, it's one of those ones that, you know, it literally, chuck your money in now and leave it there yeah. for years, you know, and it'll go up and come back down again, but then, you know, you'll have earned dividends over the next couple of years, and so you're averaging up and averaging down anyway if you reinvest. So it's isn't it? And maybe chuck some more in a couple of years' time or when it dips again. Because it does yeah. this, literally, it lasts, sort of, well, from 2015 or 2000, halfway through 2015, is it 12, 44? But it took 2 years to get to where we are, to 17 quid. And then you could see it, pretty much look at it, you could see a double top, 17 quid, you know, triple top, or, you know, hit that, try to break it four times. Then you realise, oh, maybe, and again, put a price alert there, you know, put a price alert at 16.50 and, you know, a little note there, say, or something, saying, right, this is getting towards a high, maybe take some off the table. And because that's a big stock that work, you know.
That could be a good one for the next one on our experiment, yes, couldn't it?
Yes, exactly. Our experimentos. We'll get on to that. What was I going to say now? So, do you, I mean, your portfolio, how much is it showing up, Peter?
Well, how much up? Well, this is overall,
I'm
45% up, but nice. That's overall, like, since I started doing this nonsense.
Well,
so,
what I like about Barclays is they're now such a smart investor through the year. They revamped their site, and now there's a lot more analytics on there, and they obviously try to attract, you know, investors. And they show you in the last year how much your portfolio got up by. And I like that. I mean, even though I've also got a spreadsheet of stuff like that, so Barclays has shown me I'm up 80. Let me just look a second. I'm just going to 86.2% for the year.
Yeah. And well, that's why I want to do the calculation.
I reckon Harry and Larry do tell you that, though. It's probably you can download bits and bobs, which I've looked at before. So there's quite a lot in there, but it's just not obvious, is it?
Yeah. Top 10 stocks have also got performers. Number 10, Harvest Minerals, up 33%. Flying Brands, 9, 57%. Talao Energy, 93% up at, was that, 7? Horizonte, 94%. Do you know what? That's a cracking deal they did. I just read about that, some more of that, the deal they did recently. I didn't really look at it. I scanned it, so that's pretty okay. That is a cracking deal they just did with Vermelho, I think it's called, this new asset, nickel asset and cobalt asset. It's an amazing deal they've done. So I think they did recently hit, just fly past 5 pence, which is a previous high they couldn't get past. So I think it's going to fly in 2018. I think Talao Energy as well, and, you know, and Harvest Minerals, lots of things, and Flying Brands, lots of things happening there. Westminster Group up 133%, Valrix 173%, Asia Met 211%, at 3, Tertiary Minerals 226%, EVR Holdings up 236%, and Vesarian 313%. But EVR Holdings, they haven't done anything this year, pretty much. But you know, it's a strategy. My strategy is when you double or treble, and I think I bought those. More, I think, I trebled or quadrupled of those. But again, sell a stake and, you know, sit back for a while. And I did buy into that a bit higher up then. Because I earned, you know, multiples of what I put in there originally, I bought a bit more. But I'll sit and wait now. Because I just think they're in a position where I know people say the market cap is quite high, but they're a virtual reality company and they've signed up with, you know, the biggest labels on the globe. So they've got access rights to all the biggest artists. But I'm just kidding, they've got to be doing something. They haven't. I was disappointed they hadn't done something this Christmas, you know, VR. But I don't know if VR is going to take off. Is it going to take off? Steve, what do you reckon?
Yeah, no, I think it is. I've noticed a lot more in, I think, Virgin Holidays now have set up a virtual reality thing in their stores where you can basically go and go on holiday and look around your destination before. It's like incredible, wow. Isn't that? That's a great way of selling a holiday.
Yeah. I can see it working in stuff like cars and all that sort of way. Exactly, you don't have to actually go somewhere to physically see it. You can actually see it virtually and get a much better idea of what it's going to be like to actually own that car or, yeah, like you say. Like, so the big purchases, I think that could be a real big...
I think the gaming world is the one that's going to really benefit from it, I think.
I also think when Anthony, the CEO, came on and talked about having a virtual ticket for big artists that, you know...
Oh, yeah.
I think that is his market there as well, because the teenage kids, you know, they're obsessed. They're called fanatical fans, aren't they? Obsessed with these artists. And if they can get a virtual ticket, say, you know, a fan in New Zealand, you know, wants to see Justin Bieber and he's playing in London or something, and they can't afford it, the virtual ticket's like 30 bucks, you know, and you can go actually, you know, in that concert live and also see him backstage or on the stage or be that close and all that. I think that's going to sell. Don't you think it's going to sell?
Yeah, but when you say, I know that's a good idea, but when you think about it, they can't literally walk around the stage. You're only limited to where the cameras are placed, and you're not going to be I know the whole 360 thing would be quite immersive and everything, but you're not going to be watching the artist, aren't you? So it's not really going to be turning around and looking at the crowd, are you?
No, I know.
Yeah, but don't you think you'd do it like a bunch of you could get together and all watch it virtually together, and then you instead of all that?
I think they still are doing that. I think they're really. I think that's the thing. To be really immersive, it's got to have an interactive part to it, isn't it? And I think when you go to concerts, you don't go on your own generally. You go with friends, don't you? So I think they want to, you know, create that atmosphere where you and your bunch of mates. And I think you're right, Pete, where you said that. I think that's they did. I think he alluded that last time. You have a room where several of you can be in, and you'll be in the concert yourself, you know, or something like that. Or it's more interactive and more immersive than just watching it. And so that's the way forward. Yeah, because at the moment we are at the start of that sort of, you know, a technology. So I suppose there's a lot more potential to be, you know, visualised. Stocks wise, what do you reckon? Any ideas for 2018? Any thoughts on what you fancy?
Well, I want to see the survey. How do I get onto the survey? I heard you mention it the other day. I saw you mention it.
I'll send you it right now. But I'll put it up there. I'm going to shut it down on the 1st of January. So New Year's Day will be shut down. I think midday. I'll collate because I've got quite a few suggested there now.
There was one company that I saw get mentioned a lot when you put it on was Fast Forward Innovations.
Yeah, there's a big following amongst Fast Forward.
And I haven't even had a chance to have a look at it, but I saw that and thought, that'll be one from a list to have a look at and see what people are talking about there.
There's a lot of fanatical people around Fast Forward, and they have invested in a blockchain and a couple of good, interesting investments there. But my thing with investment companies is this. Is that a big sniff, or is that someone moving to me? It's like a big snotty sniff.
That was Steve falling over.
Yeah, yeah. The thing with investment companies sometimes, when if they spread themselves too thinly, you know, and so they've got... I think they got 2% of Factom, I think it is, which is a blockchain company. Mm. And I think trouble is, you know, was it $2.7 million I think they invested in Factom, I think. But I was saying, you know, if Factom doubles, then their investment goes from 2.7 to do the maths to what 5.4, is that right? Yeah, $1 million. Now, their market cap, I think, Fast Forward, is about 15, you know? Let me just check. So, that's not, you know, game-changing. I know they've got a lot of investments that apparently could all be game-changing, but I'm not a big fan of investment companies if they spread too thinly. And Fast Forward do have quite a few investments. It's 18 million market cap, Fast Forward, and they have quite a few investments. I know everyone says, they're all game-changing. They can't be. By the very nature, they can't all be game-changers. Game-changers will be smart. There is a company, I'm not going to share with you now who it is, because that I believe is a good exposure to blockchain. And I want to get exposure to blockchain. And I missed out on it a while back, and I've been watching the price, and I'm waiting for it to come back. And I just looked at the results here, and I couldn't believe the return they'd made on the results investing in blockchain companies. And I'm thinking, really? So still, it's still quite undervalued at the moment, and I like them a lot. I'm not going to say who they are, because when I talk about companies, I like the price to be right as well, you know?
I'm still in Blue Star, although I've de-risked, so it's been a good one. You know, it's been a really good one, like, to actually watch that go up and, you know, made money, de-risk completely, and I've still got a stake in it. But I don't know where it's going to go, you know, so I'm quite happy in my position now, because if it falls to the floor, then so be it. If it carrying on, then that's great. But, yes, I think that was a good... I think you alerted me to that one, and I bought at a good price there. But I don't know. I wouldn't want to predict where it's going now.
Yeah, I sold too early in that. I made a tiny bit of profit. That was before. And I love the idea of blockchain, and still should pay. I love the idea, but it's going to be big blockchain. But then I didn't realise, you know, that was like, what? How long ago was that when we first bought that?
It's going to be 8 months.
Yeah. Back then, the cryptocurrency, you know, it wasn't frenetic or frenzied as it is now, you know? And I thought it was going to be big. I didn't realize the frenzy would start so early. So I got out and I thought, I'll look around and see and do something else. And then all of a sudden, it's just gone berserk. And any company, at the moment, this is like the dot-com boom, the blockchain thing. What's happening is a lot of bad companies who failed to give a return to their investments or failed to come up with a decent, viable business model, what they're doing is just attaching blockchain to their name and making an investment in blockchain somewhere. You know, and they're flying. This is very much what happened on the dot-com boom, you know? Now, of all those companies that doubled, I literally doubled my money in a couple of months, and then I pretty much lost most of it. But most of the companies that just changed to dot-com, their business didn't get any better. You know, they're still run by the same incapable management, you know, and all they've just done is jumped on the latest trend. But of course, none of those companies turned out to be Facebook or Google or whatever. But there will be one of those in the blockchain, you know, ecosystem somewhere. There will be an equivalent of Google or whatever. Or maybe it is Google will buy up a blockchain, so there'll be that in a company. So, but that's the kind of company you want to search for. So there will be some massive winners in the blockchain, you know, fraternity there. But you've got to be a bit selective, you know. And it's a company I quite like, but like I said, it's rallied strongly. I last looked at this company, and it was less than half where it was now. And I thought it was a bit expensive then, and I didn't buy it. And then I thought, oh, no. And that's double where it was. But I'm it's still rallying a bit. But I'm thinking, all we need to see is some kind of sentiment change on the cryptocurrencies. And it will, because they've been rallying too strongly for so long. And I think I've got to wait till there's a big sell-off a bit. Or maybe I'll just scale in. You know, I don't know what to do. Maybe I'll scale in. But you've got to have exposure. It's like, you know, with when you get these new technologies, you've got to have exposure to them. If you want to earn, you know, multiples of, and in fact, this brings me, if you want to earn, you know, multiples of your investment, you've got to get exposure to these new technologies, and especially if they're highly rated. And we've seen that with graphene. We know it. You know, we've seen it with, and people talk about blockchain. It will be the next big thing, and it is going to be the next big thing. So now it's time to take positions, you know, and. It's not too late. Never too late, because there's still people. Most of the people, you know, who are not investors have not ever heard of blockchain. They've heard of Bitcoin, but not blockchain. Mm. So when I explain to people, I have to explain Bitcoin, because Bitcoin now hit the headlines, and that's fueled, you know. Because someone said, "Is it time to get into Bitcoin?" Because Bitcoin went to what, $20,000 or something ridiculous, and then came back in at like $13,000 or something. Yeah. And I can't remember. And someone said, "Is it time to get into Bitcoin?" I said, "Well, listen, from where the Bitcoin is now." To where it hit that last high is a 35% gain. I said, is it really worth it? I know more. I prefer to take my chance on AIM stocks, you know, because it's going to rally now back to that previous high, which hit massive resistance. And who knows, it may sell off again. So it's up to you. I mean, and it was also accessibility to Bitcoin. If you haven't done it before, it's not easy, you know. It's not hard to set up a stockbroker account. You know, your bank will probably do a stockbroker account. It's easy to set it up, isn't it? But if you tell someone, go on, buy some Bitcoin, right, where do I start, you know? And so it's not as easy as accessible as yet, but no. I still think once that accessibility becomes, you know, easier for the mainstream, they'll fly even more, these cryptocurrencies. But maybe I'll just scale into this currency. I was going to buy on Friday, but there we are. Talking about that, I did yesterday I looked at the top 100 risers on all sectors for 2017, right? And this is a point I want to prove. It's a sweet spot, I believe, if you want multi-baggers. And this is talking about market cap. This, in relation to this competition we're talking about, what will be the best performer? And there's a couple of people have mentioned big stocks, you know? And I think, fair enough, but they're not going to win this competition. You know, you may have a decent rise out of them in 2018, you know, but they're not. I mean, somebody's mentioned Lloyds. Someone's mentioned another company. There's no way Lloyds are going to double, you know?
Well, you never know.
And but I looked at the top 100 stocks, right? And of the 100 stocks, what percentage of companies do you think were under 50 million market cap? This is now taking into account, this is after they've risen by 3, 4, 5 times. What percentage of those 100 stocks were under 50 million market cap? What percentage?
Across the whole of the stock market?
Yeah, across the whole of the stock market. So all stocks, from the big ones to the small ones, so from, you know, from point, you know, so 100,000 market cap to 60 billion.
They were the top 100 gainers. So
top 100 gainers of the year, entire markets, all sectors, and I counted them, actually wrote them down. I got a filter thing, and I counted them down and marked them on a sheet, went through them all.
Non-stop fun at your house at Christmas.
It was, yeah. So so I counted the number of stocks. Right. Out of 100, under 50 million market cap. This is after they've risen, mind. So
after they've risen.
So, you know. So, how many think? What percentage? Steve, have a guess. Do you want the question again?
No. I'm going to go with 27.
27% is quite high, isn't it? Pete?
No, do you think? I suppose I'll go. I think about, I was going to say 30, but all right, 22%.
So I threw you, didn't I? I threw you, yes!
It's actually higher line, isn't it?
Have confidence in your conviction, Peter!
Oh, do you know what? Originally, when you started talking, I was thinking about 60%.
Yeah.
So there we go, I'll go with that.
That's laughable. 60%. That's laughable, 60, that is.
Yeah, 60%. I know. Right. You threw me. Okay.
51 stocks, 51% out of 100, are under 50 million market cap. That's after double, tripling, quadrupling, you know, several of them did several multi-bags. So you're looking at that, and you're thinking, okay, so I need to look at companies, you know, literally below 25 million, and the majority of them, market cap, are below 10 million. So if you want to look for companies in multi-bag, you've got to look at the market cap literally, you know, anywhere up to sort of 15, 20 million is where you look, you know? And I'd say even, I mean, at the moment, I really believe the sweet spot is below 10 million. I think if you can double below, and you're still below 10 million, you're laughing. That's particularly why I like feedback. I mean, they've been hammered. I wrote a blog about them. I don't know if you wrote the blog. I had to get it out there because the price was moving. But I was looking at feedback for a while. I bought a while back. And like I say in the blog, whenever I write, or in the email, whenever I write about a company, I like to give a reason, and not only, you know, why you should put it on your watch list, but also right now at the right price. Because like I said, you always, it's all about the price. And you can buy a good company at a bad price and lose money, and, you know, a bad company at a good price and make money. And you want the combination of both. And I believe feedback. Now, the problem that the reason why the price is so low at the moment is because Trevor Brown, who's a well-known guy on AIM, he's invested in a lot of companies, was on the board of directors, but he's involved in a lot of companies. And he was involved in the spin-out of Flying Brands, which licensed their software from Feedback, and it's analytic imaging software. Flying Brands do it for stone checking and kidney stones, and Feedback do it for cancer. But they've got this CE mark, you know, in Europe, which means they can now sell it commercially. Previously, they could only sell it for research purposes, and they couldn't charge as much. But what that does for them, research, they get written up in academic papers, and they've had quite a lot written about them, done very well, and there's been lots written about the successfulness of their software. So it texturizes, so there's digital image, so you can look at the image better, and you can quantify if it's what kind of cancer it is and all this stuff, and the depths of it, and see how bad it is, or you know, and it'll help practitioners deal with it better. But feedback, you know, Trevor left in Trevor's the kind of guy who's a market maker. He brings things to the market, sets it up, gets it going, brings people in who can do. Now, he's not an expert in the field of cancer, you know, or software. He's the guy who deals with the managing of the financial side of it and the listing and all that stuff. That's what he does. And he involved the spin-out of feedback as well, Flying Brands. So he stepped down in June because he's got other things to do, and there's newer projects to start up and do that. And on board came a guy called Tim Irish, who used to work with GE Healthcare, which is one of the biggest in the world, and also the chairman as well, but Alistair Riddle. But Trevor had like 28% of stock, which is a massive amount of stock, you know. And he said, as a non-executive director, it's quite appropriate to have a lot of skin in the game, but as a shareholder, it's never that appropriate to have that much stock in one company, you know. So he's been reducing his stock from 20%, and I think he's just now down now. Last announcement was December 12th or 20th, I think, 20th. And he was down to 12.55%. And so, and I've seen, you know, on Twitter and stuff that he said he's happy with that holding. So he's not selling anymore. So he sold around about, you know, £604,000 worth of stock in the last couple of months. And, you know, for a company that a market cap is only 5 million, that's a lot of pressure, you know, the liquidity there. I mean, the average stock turnover, let's try and work this out on things. The average trade, or average, let's have a look. So, 1 million shares at, do the math, Peter, do the math, genius, yeah? 1 million shares at 1.9 pence is what? Steve, 1 million shares at 1.9 pence. Sorry, what was that?
Yep, that's it.
It's about 19 grand, yeah?
Right.
A day, that's all it's traded, yeah? Now, Trevor sold 604,000 grand, basically, 604 grand in 3 months.
Yeah.
So you imagine, you can't do that every day. You can only do it when there's liquidity going through the company, you know, there's a bit of stock going through there, when there's a bit of people buying. So you can only do it when there's buys going on. So someone will come in and buy 100,000 shares, he'll sell 200,000, you know? And so, you know, 'cause he wants to offload a little bit. No reflection of the business at all. Just he overexposed this business. And so you imagine, so from the last couple of months, all the ship has been doing is going downwards, you know, as all has happened. And so that presents an opportunity. Now they've got the CE mark, they signed a memorandum of understanding with Alliance Medical Group, which are responsible for 50% of NHS scans in the country. They've also crossed Europe. They've also, this is very interesting actually, apart from that, they've lost some medical papers published, but they've also signed a memorandum of understanding, a letter of intent with a leading global medical imaging company. Now, this is interesting. So there are two things happening, and they said Alliance Medical, they signed back a couple of years back, and they can only really work, they can only use them for research purposes, but they've been installing this stuff on their scanners across the UK. Now, they're going to sort of start paying them commercial rates once the CE mark has been achieved, which they've got. So I'm expecting now revenue to, you know, rise a bit here, and they've also signed this letter of intent with a leading global medical imaging company, and this, which would make Texturide Lung available for purchase on its diagnostic imaging solutions platforms worldwide. So this is in March. So I'm thinking, now you've got the CE. Now I'm thinking, I just Googled global medical imaging company, and it came up with a couple of companies. One of them was GE Healthcare. And I thought, hang on, that's a bit of a coincidence. Chairman Dr. Riddle spent 5 years sales and marketing for oncology and imaging products for GE Healthcare. Tim Irish, who replaced Trevor Brown, also had senior positions responsible for medical imaging at GE Healthcare. And combine the fact that they've recently signed an exclusive distributor agreement in China with Boyer, which is an approved vendor for GE Healthcare. And you think, hang on a sec, it's GE Healthcare, surely. One of the biggest in the world, along with Alliance Medical. So they've got connections here with two of the biggest, you know, imaging companies in the world. They've just got a CE marker. They've got Trevor Brown pushing the share price down, giving everyone an opportunity to jump in below a placing price, last placing price of 2.75 pence. Yeah. And I'm thinking, this year, it presents good risk-reward, you know, definitely. And so that's the one Fred's gone for the performer of the year. Yeah.
Okay.
And by the way, Monty's gone for Valerix. So, yeah.
And so from a funding point of view, I will read your blog, obviously, but after their placing, what's their cash burn situation now, and how long is that going to...
Yeah, I think two reasons why the share price will come down. Trevor Brown, and there's a couple of people saying they may need cash. So the last raise in April, they raised 750 grand at a price of 2.75 pence. Now, in the final results for 12 months ending 31st of May, they had cash of 700 grand.
Yeah.
And they lost... So the year was 300,000 for the year on revenue of 465,000. So they got, you know, if their cash burn was 300 grand and they raised 750 grand, you could say they got 2 years of cash burn there from April. Yeah. But they've also invested. So I'd never go off that. They probably invested a bit more. So I'd say maybe a year. So maybe
these agreements and things that are in discussion with, how soon will we see that?
If you look at, there's an interview with a video with Dr. Riddell on Proactive Investors, and when they signed the CE mark, and he said they're working right now. And so I'm thinking news is imminent, and I think, you know, one of these big guys are going to be sign a commercial deal with them very soon or later. And so I just think news is imminent. I mean, they've had so many papers out there, and you can read about them. Academic papers highlighting the usefulness and effectiveness of this product. It fits into, you know, CT scanners, so it's compatible with all scanners, PET scanners, CTs, MRI scans. So just think, why wouldn't you have this software to help you as a radiologist, you know, try and figure out what kind of cancer this is, what depth this is, what kind of texture it is. It just makes it's a no-brainer. And there's a tiny little company. If anything, they're taken out. They're only a 5 million market cap. You know, you've got Alliance Medical, GE Healthcare, could buy them up quite easily, you know? So I think at this level, they're very cheap. They've been there for a while. And I think that right now, a turning point in their career, and I think their journey, and I think this year will be very exciting for them. Because this year, they get to commercialise that software. And there's other products as well. They've got the CE marking was for Texturide Lung. They've also got other software. And they know now, the CE mark took a lot longer than previously thought. So that dragged the share price down a bit as well. But now they know that Dr. Riddle did say, we now know that how rigorous it is to apply for CE marking. So we now know what to go through. But they've got like Texrad, sort of lung, brain, liver. They've got all different versions of software. So it's not just one. It can cover the whole sort of body, you know. So
Trevor Brown selling, that is a bit strange, isn't it? Like,
well, do you know what? Trevor's in a Twitter group I'm in called Feedback. Right. And he just said on Friday, it came back, someone was selling. And he said, it's not me selling, by the way. And but no, he's a big fan of the company. He still owns. Listen, he's not involved anymore. He still owns 12.5%.
Yeah, which is what's the market cap?
Yeah, so it's 5 million pretty much. That's so right, okay. You know, he still owns over £500,000 worth of shares.
Yeah.
So you know, that's a big chunk of money. So it's not like he's not involved with the company. So people thinking, oh, he doesn't believe in it. No, he's not selling anymore.
To me,
that's a lot of skin in the game, isn't it, really? You know?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Okay. It's a little bit more than I'll be putting in, but yeah, okay.
A little bit more. Steve, what's your winner?
Steve will probably match Trevor. And there'll be a TR1 that comes out. Yeah. Boom.
Trevor, I'll buy all your stock. What's your winner for 2018, Steve?
Don't know. I'll have to look into it.
Well, you haven't got long, Steve, because it's only a couple of days, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. No, you got one day. Yeah, it's fine.
Is that what you'll be doing, research, is it?
Yes. That's going to spend the whole of my New Year's Eve doing research, trying to pick a winner.
Yeah, lovely.
Pick a winner.
Well, go on to the survey, input what you think is going to be the winner, yeah, and we'll see. Don't pick the same one, though, guys, yeah? It'd be nice for you to pick different ones, yeah?
Okay. So, yes, I think one that I'd like to see do well is Jangada.
Jangada's a good call. I think Upland Resources is a good call. You know?
Yeah, maybe,
Codal Minerals is a good call. Tertiary Minerals is good. Horizonte is good, but it's a big market cap. Like I say, the difference is Horizonte is about a 50 million market cap now. You know, that's what it is. So it's a lot harder for that to double to go to 100 million than it was 58 million than it is for like a 5 million to go to 10 million. You know, I mean, it's a lot.
Jangada's 9 billion. Yeah.
Yeah. So they have to create 5 million in value to go to 10 million if you're a 5 million market cap. But they have to create, now the Horizonte have to create 50 million worth of value. You know, so it's a lot more value creation they have to create. But I still think it'll do very well this year. I think there's a lot. Valrick's do well. I think Talao will do well. Be interesting to get Asian Met Butong license coming through. Should do well at all. So I see BT had a strong finish of the year, up 1.63%, 271. How much up, Steve?
I think I'm at 5% on them.
Nice.
You're off with your target.
Yeah. I was at 8, but obviously pulled back.
Yeah. Well, you've got to have a pullback.
I'm still down.
And mate, you've got to have a pullback now and again, Steve, haven't you?
Yeah.
Right. And on that note.
All right, so that's it. So any, before we go, do you know what? I hate Christmas. But anything. no, I do. Do you know what? I genuinely hate it. Do you know what I hate about it? Is it you have to try and be happy. It's one of those.
Come easy to you, does it?
No, it doesn't. It's one of the times a year where people. You know, force you to try and be happy, you know? It doesn't happen, does it? I mean, I'm the kind of person where I end up being miserable when I have to be trying to be happy. It's like, oh, you got to be happy. Same with New Year's Eve. Oh, happy, 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 everyone. And the happy police are here. So, on that note, any plans for New Year's Eve, boys?
I'm going to party hard.
I've got another black tie wedding to go to.
Have you?
Steve! Who is it?
Who is it this time, Steve?
She's never friends. Yeah, she's getting married.
Well,
so
who's a friend, not a stranger? Who is it?
No, you don't know him.
Is it what kind of wedding is it, Steve? Is it boy?
No, it's a boy girl wedding.
Oh, traditional. Okay. Right.
Boy girl.
Yeah.
Lovely. Well, it's New Year's Eve, is it?
Yeah, another black tie. So that reminds me, I've got to wash my shirt. Okay.
Is anybody else? Wash my shirt. Steve, you better wash that, Steve.
Dirty laundry.
That reminds me, it's New Year's Eve. I've got to wash my privates. Right, listen.
It's okay.
What was I going to say now? I think that's quite a good idea, New Year's Eve. Because I just think.
Washing your privates.
No, but because I think, you know, it's always a bit of a downer in New Year's Eve. But if you're at a wedding, you know, it's pretty quite a good thing to do, isn't it, on New Year's Eve? I quite like that idea.
Maybe you should do it next time.
Yeah, well, you come in, Pete, because last time you didn't.
If I haven't got anything else on, yeah.
The missus is still annoyed about that. She's still annoyed about
it. I know. She doesn't let it lie.
Yeah, she doesn't. Here we are, then, lads. Have a happy new year. Let's hope 2018 is good for all of us and prosperous for all of us and stocks and shares. And this time next year, boys.
We'll be 40% down.
We should have banked that stuff, shouldn't we? Lovely. See you, lads.
See ya. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.